Hallelujah. Well, I am so excited to be with you guys tonight. This is a huge honor for me. I, of course, want to give honor where honor is due. And just, I know they're not here, but I just want to thank Pastor Mrs. Hagen and Pastor Denise for giving me the honor and the privilege to speak to you all tonight. It is such an honor. This ministry single-handedly has changed generations of my family, and I am so humbled and honored to now be on staff here. It sometimes still seems a little surreal even. So I wanted to tell them thank you, and I hope you guys have your expectors on. Now, I am the kids pastor, so that being said, you know, if you feel the urge to, like, just scream out what you had for dinner tonight or some random noise that you make, no, you will not distract me at all, because I am totally used to it. If your hand goes up and you're like, I had mac and cheese for dinner, it's great. I will feel right at home. So feel free. Do not resist those urges. If they come, just go with it, okay? All right. So tonight, I'm getting really vulnerable with you guys tonight. It's been on my heart for a few weeks, and I kind of tried to go a few different places, and the Lord just kept going, nope, this is where you're supposed to go. So I'm going to be getting really vulnerable with you tonight about some areas I personally have struggled with over the years, and I want to see if maybe I can help you guys in those same struggles. So my first question for you tonight is, how many of you in here are married? Pretty good chunk of us, right? So if you're married, and then if you've been married for any length of time, my husband and I have been married for 17 years, together 20, and I can remember when we were in Kentucky, we had small children, we were burning the candle at both ends, you know, but you know how it always starts. You start out dating, and you're just infatuated with each other, you can't, you know, get enough of each other, then you get engaged, and it's even more exciting, right? You can't wait to go to bed every night with that person, wake up every morning, not have to say goodnight, and then they leave, right? And then you have the wedding and the honeymoon and everything's great. Well, you know, then you get through a few years, a few kids, busy life. And I'm going to be honest with you, we're about around year 6, 7. We had 2 small children. We were both working both at the church and we were bivocational. So we also had secular jobs. And I remember waking up one day feeling like I had become a roommate with my husband. Because we just didn't have time. Let me correct that. We didn't make time, right, to work on our marriage. And I remember thinking to myself, oh no, this is not where we want to be. This is not what God had intended for marriage, right? Well, as I was praying and studying the other night, I really felt like that needed to be my title for tonight. Because it's very easy for us to become roommates with God. It's very easy for us to become so comfortable in our relationship with God that just like we do with our spouses or our parents or good friends, we take Him for granted. And it's something that I personally have dealt with, being a mom, working, all those things. You know, it's easy to say, oh, I'll read my Bible tomorrow. I'll catch up tomorrow. I'll do this. But tomorrow never comes. Later never comes, right? So several years ago, when I was going through, for lack of better terms, kind of a rut in my personal time with Jesus, I was just like, Lord, help me. And He gave me 3 simple things to do to help me stay on track and stay accountable. So tonight, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you the 3 things that He gave me to help me get back on track. Because it's so quick, it's so easy to become roommates with God. And you may be there right now. And if you are, there's no reason to be ashamed. Listen, we all go through this season, okay? We're all human. If there's somebody who's not human in here and you say that you've never had that, then you're probably lying. Because we've all been there, right? So I want to start by opening our Bibles to Psalms 119, verse 15. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. And it says, I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees, and I will not forget your word. Here David is writing about his love for the word of God. I love Psalms 119 because the whole thing is about David's love for the Word of God. So the first question when we're evaluating our spiritual walk with the Lord and how we're doing with our personal time with God is, am I meditating on the Word? Am I meditating on the Word? You know, the whole book, the whole chapter of Psalms 119, David is proclaiming his love for God's Word. And if you think about it, you know, we have this whole Bible. He had like that much, okay? He had significantly smaller amount of the Word. And yet, when you read Psalms 119, or any of the Psalms for that matter, David knew his Word. David meditated on it day and night. He didn't read it and just go, oh, check, I got my daily Bible reading done and moved on, right? He meditated on it, and you can see it by the way he, you know, comes against the trials that he had in his life. And I think we can all agree that he had some trials. He had just a couple, right? And I love it because it just reminds me that we're not supposed to just read and move on. Yes, we need to read, absolutely, right? But we need to be meditating on it. We need to have it in front of us day and night. And I'm sure many of you, like myself, I have post-it notes and stickers, notes all over my home, my office, my car, where I have scripture that I'm meditating on that I want in front of my eyes at all times, right? It's more than just a quick read in the morning. Joshua 1:8 in the NLT, I love it, this version is my favorite. It says, study this book of instruction continuously. Meditate on it day and night so you are sure to obey everything written in it. Then, only then, will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Meditating on his word comes with a promise, right? And I know some of us, I'm sure in here, are parents. Okay, how many of you parents out there have ever gotten you're just been crushed because maybe you promised your kids ice cream or McDonald's or something fun like that if they got their rooms clean, and then they didn't do it. And you're like, well, darn, I really wanted to go for ice cream. Now I don't get to go for ice cream, okay? I have this thing, like, I feel like that's probably kind of how God feels. Like, he wants to bless us. He wants to ensure that we prosper and succeed. But if we're not doing our part of the promise, if we're not meditating on his word day and night, he can't do his part. His hands are tied, just like our hands as parents are tied, right? David knew that the word of God was a lamp to guide his feet and a light for his path, right? He knew that God was his refuge and his shield, and that the word of God was his source of hope no matter what he was going through. And you know, something that maybe y'all are more spiritual than me, and you figured this out a long time before me, but as I'm reading Psalms 119, I was just reminded, this whole book is about the word of God, right? Yet, I think it's no coincidence that it's also the longest chapter in the Bible. God was trying to show us even here, hey, my word is life. My word is so important. And if you're not in it, you're not meditating on it, you won't live your best life. You cannot have all that I have promised unless you're meditating on the word of God, right? You know, meditating on the word is the only way that we're going to get it so deep inside of our hearts that, number one, we won't sin against it, right? And number two, that nothing that happens to us in this life will shake us. Because if we don't know what the word says about our trials, how are we supposed to fight them, right? We got to know, and we're not going to know unless we spend time in his word. David didn't have the confidence that he did in God because he did his daily Bible reading and checked a little box and moved on, right? He spent time with the Lord, just him and God. You know, if you want to get to know somebody, you don't say, hey, let's meet up at Starbucks and have a quick 1-hour coffee date, and you leave going, oh my goodness, I've met my best friend. I know everything about them now. There's nothing I don't know about them. That's not the case, right? It's no different than marriage, okay? Like, I feel like when you're dating and you're engaged, you're like, oh, I know everything about them. And then you get married and they fold their clothes weird, or they don't load the dishwasher right. Like, right? You know? there's always those little things that maybe you don't know about. You never told me that story about when you were a kid. Oh, okay. There's always stuff, right? And you don't know those things until you really get to know somebody, till you're spending that time with them. It's no different with God. If we're not spending time getting to know him, we won't know him. We won't know how to fight these battles, right? God gave us his word so that we could be confident, just like David is. You know, our spirit man, the true you, right? He needs the word to grow and to thrive. Obviously, our spirit man's not going to die. But if he's not growing, he's shrinking. I don't know how many of y'all grew up in Sunday school in the early 90s, but we used to have this really fun song that I still remember very vividly. I'm not going to do the actions for you, but there was actions. And it said, read your Bible and pray every day and you will grow, grow, grow. Don't read your Bible and forget to pray and you will shrink, shrink, shrink. And we would do all the actions, right? I'm sure some of you remember that song. And I love that song, but you know what? Here I am at 37, and I still remember that song. And we sang it, and it's such a simple song, but it's full of truth, right? And it's those things that remind us that we need to be lovers of the Word of God. We need to treat the Word like our lifeline, not our convenience book, right? We shouldn't be picking this up like we do a fiction book to read. This should be our first thing we do, right? Because if we're not in the Word, guess what? We're not going to see all the times that he was faithful, that he provided, that he made a way out, that over and over and over again to build our faith and to make sure that we are filled with that faith and that when we speak, those faith-filled words are coming out, right? So number two, the second way to check yourself, what are the words coming out of my mouth? Listen. Been there, okay? But I think we all can agree that sometimes when you get around certain people, saved or unsaved, it's real quick to see where their faith is, right? Based on what they're saying and what circumstances they're going through. And as you know, I'll just call myself out right here. I used to be the confession police, okay? Like I can remember, I'm just gonna tell on myself. I can remember being in Kentucky, brand new children's pastor. I think it was 22, and I remember our senior pastor's wife going, "Hey, I know that like you just want to make sure everybody's speaking faith, but you know, when we're working out and somebody's really tired and can't get those crunches done, you don't need to tell them that that's not a faith statement." Okay, like it's okay. And I'm like, oh, right, okay. You know, but like it's real. When you get that way and you're so, you know, you can kind of get in a ditch. So we need to be modest, okay? We need to be in the middle, okay? But on the same token, it's real quick to tell where somebody is in their faith walk, right? When they're going through something. If they're real, you know, just Debbie Downer, or if they're real upbeat, I'm like, well, you know what? God's got it. You know, he'll take care of me. Romans 12:2 in the NLT says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. When we allow the word to work in our life, it will transform our thoughts and it will transform our words, right? So that our words that are coming out are filled with faith and hope. You know, when someone sees you going through something, because we all go through stuff, right? When someone sees you going through something and they ask you about it, they should be able to tell there's something different about you, right? They should be able to tell, oh, something's different. They don't talk like the rest of us. They don't talk like the rest of our world. You know, I feel like we all got a real quick glimpse of that in 2020 through COVID. We found out real quick, you know, who had their faith there and who was in fear, right? But it's no different. Like, people should be able to tell. You should be different. We should talk different. We should walk differently. I remember when John and I went to Kentucky, I was slapped right in the face with the reality of the wild, not the Bible Belt. I was 22 years old. We were newly married. I had been out of Rhema of RBTC for a year and was convinced I was going to change the world in about 6 months, let's be honest. And I have always been a very happy, bubbly, confident person. And then I moved to the rural parts of Kentucky. Listen, wonderful people, just a different place, okay? It's not the Bible Belt. I spent most of those 22 years in the Bible Belt. And, you know, I'm convinced that people here are just generally happier, friendlier. And I really think it's because of everybody praying, okay? It's because of all the good churches in the area. There's just a lot of prayer and love in the area, okay? But I will never forget, it was our first week. We'd gotten settled. And I was working in the church, and I remember being there, I think it was actually my first day, if I'm not mistaken, and I was there, my pastor's wife was there, and it just so happened that the church, if you're ever in a smaller church, you probably remember church directories. We were taking pictures for the church directories, which I loved because I was like, yes, I get to meet people. I get to know people from the church better because I was the children's pastor, so I was always back in the kids. So I didn't get to see people before and after service, right? So I was like so excited, and I will never forget this one individual who the pastor's wife introduced me to her. You know, we did the normal pleasantries. Oh, how long have you been coming to the church? Blah, blah, blah. And I went back and kind of sat at the little desk we have at the front and was just kind of sitting there greeting people as they came in to give them directions. And I remember at one point we locked eyes again. So I just smiled, you know, like a normal friendly person would do. And I just smiled at her. And she looked me square in the eye and said, "You don't have to smile at me. Nobody's happy all the time." And I was like, "But I am." And I legitimately was. And I was like, oh, this is what the wild's like. This is what it's like outside the Bible Belt. Okay, a little different here, you know? And it's just the way it is. And I was like, okay, well, maybe it was just that one person. You know, I give everybody the benefit of the doubt. It's like, maybe she's just having a bad day, you know? And I remember I started working at Walgreens. I had been working for Walgreens in Oklahoma and then started working Walgreens in Kentucky. I had come from the second busiest store here in the state to going to the second busiest store in the state in Kentucky. So high stress. I worked in the pharmacy, very high stress, very fast-paced environment, but I loved it. I loved doing it. And I remember that none of my coworkers liked me at all, like had disdain for me. And I don't typically find it difficult to get along with people. I mean, even if I don't particularly like you, I can still get along with you, right? I can still tolerate you. We can still be cordial, right? But I mean, these people were sabotaging me, okay? And I was just like, what is going on? My 22-year-old naive brain is like, what is happening? And I remember one particular day, I walked up to my pharmacy manager and I said, I'm done. I said, I'm done. Transfer me to a different store. I don't want to cause issues. Whatever you have to do, whatever, I'm fine. Like, I love being at the store, but I don't want to cause issues. I don't know what the deal is. And I remember he took me back to the back, and he looked at me, and he's like, do not change who you are. He said, don't change. He goes, they're not happy because you work harder, you work smarter, you work faster, and you do it all with a smile. He goes, so now our customers love you, the managers love you, and you're making them look bad. I'm like, I'm not trying to, I'm just being myself. And I remember though he encouraged me. He was like, no, don't give up. Don't stick it out. He's like, it'll be okay. And I did. I stuck it out, and within a few months they either tolerated me or they left, so it worked. I guess I won. I guess that's the way to look at it. But to wrap that story up, I wish that I could say that that never changed and that I stayed that happy, bubbly, you know, faith-filled person. But here's the rest of the story. Eventually, life happens, right? You know, we were there, and before you know it, you know, you're studying for lessons, for sermons, you have a couple kids, and I realized that my personal time with God wasn't where it should be, right? And, you know, there's so many counterfeits out there that make you feel like you are, that you're spending time with God. You're like, wow, but Lord, I'm listening to sermons. You know, I'm listening to worship music. That's all. I'm always, you know, preparing lessons or sermons. Like, surely that's enough, but it's not. And I quickly found my words starting to change. Not so much to the public. I'm really good at putting a mask on. Not going to lie about that, but to my family, to the ones closest to me, right? They saw the change. They saw the doubt. not even so much the fear, but just the unhappiness, right? The just discontentment because I wasn't filling myself up. You know, Romans 12:2 says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture. This is the Message version. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. So here's the flip side. If you're not spending time in the Word, you're going to go backwards. There's no coasting with God, right? There's no, okay, I can make it stretch. There's none of that with your personal time with God. You're either doing it or you're not, right? And when we're spending time in the Word, letting it permeate our soul and our spirit, it's inevitable you will see a change. But like I said, if you're not doing that, you will also see a change. And I wish that I could say that that change didn't happen, but it did. But like the Word says, I was quick to respond. You know, now it did take longer than it probably should have because I'm stubborn sometimes and I think I can do everything. I've gotten over that. I mean, I call myself a recovering perfectionist because I just feel like I can control it all. I can't. I'm learning that 37 years in, but that's okay. But you know, life causes you, you're always giving out and giving out and giving out, whether you're on the pulpit preaching or just living life, right? So if you don't have a constant input, a constant steady flow, you're going to have nothing to give. And I don't know about you, but I've been there and I don't want to go back there. It's not a fun place to be. Which brings us to number three. Am I doing my part? So similar to marriage, you know, you have to put in the work. You can't just sit on the couch next to your spouse and think you're spending time with them, because you're not. I mean, yes, you are technically in the same vicinity as them, right? But you're not spending time with them. That would be like your Bible sitting on your end table saying, oh, I'm spending time with God, right? It's really the same thing. You have to prioritize your personal time with God. You know, when I woke up that morning and I realized I'd become roommates, because we were ships in the night. We were working secular jobs and we literally were trading kids in parking lots. Like, I kind of felt like a divorced couple, if I'm going to be honest. Like, I never saw my husband because I'd get home at midnight. He was at work by 5 a.m. and we were swapping kids in the parking lot. Like, it literally felt like we were separated. And it was awful. It was terrible. Thank you, Jesus, we're not there anymore. But, you know, it took some work to get our marriage back to where it needed to be. We had to prioritize our marriage. Our, you know, cheap little Starbucks every once in a while dates because we were poor weren't cutting it, right? We had to really prioritize and sit down and fix it. That's what we have to do with our personal time with God. If you're there right now and you're in a rut where you just feel like you're not getting quality time with God, or you're just not taking the time, I encourage you to prioritize it. Do your part, because he's always there, ready to do his part. He's just waiting on us to make that next move. You know, because if we're not pressing forward and taking that initiative to spend time with the Lord, to see what he wants to show us today, what he wants to show us tomorrow, then we're going backwards. And I don't ever want to go backwards in my relationship with God. Right, I always want to be pushing forward. You know, it's so easy to think, oh, you know what? I got a great revelation last month. I can coast on that for a while. No, it's not how it works. You might be able to coast in your car for a little bit, but eventually it will stop. Right? It will stop. It's the same way with our personal walk. But the devil would love to make you think, oh, you're good. You know what? You read for 2 hours, Lisha. You prayed for an hour. You're good. You don't have to do it tomorrow. He'd like to convince us of that because he knows the power of our personal time with God. He knows the power that comes on us when we spend time with the Lord and we just let him, you know, just speak to our hearts. Let him speak to us through his word as we get to know him. And that makes the devil mad. He doesn't want us there. He wants us over here with all the the faithless people speaking doubt. Because if we're over here speaking faith and speaking life, he knows he can't do anything. He can't hurt us. Now he has to watch out for us. You know, we want to keep the devil on his toes. I don't ever want him to get comfortable with me because he's like, I got her. Right? It's real though. It's easy to get there. Because listen, when we're not in the word and we're not just soaking it up, he knows, they're not that big of a deal because I don't have to worry about them. Listen, I don't like trials in my life, but I will say that I understand now when when James talked about count it all joy when you get trials in your life, because I know, I've ticked the devil off. That's why these are coming. So you know what? I'll take my word and I'll be faith-filled and I'll take those trials as they come because I know that means I'm doing something for God. But guess what? If I'm not in the word and I'm not filled up with that word, I'm not filled up with his presence, with his spirit, I can't fight those battles. And I'm going to hide in my house, shut the door and not let anybody in and be afraid that he's going to come in, right? I don't want to be like that. So, you know, maybe you're there. Maybe you just feel like you're just surviving at the moment. Maybe you just feel like you're barely hanging on. Well, I want to encourage you. God hasn't gone anywhere. You know, James 4:8 in the NLT says, come close to God and he will come close to you. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's waiting for us to take that first step. Because as soon as he will, he's going to meet us right where we're at. And he's going to bless us and he's going to fill us up and he's going to fill our cup. You know, I can promise you that when you do that, you're going to start to see the changes. And how your point of view will change. You know, point of views are huge right now. Everywhere on Instagram, it's this point of view, that point of view. Even my 11-year-old today, I'm meal prepping. And he's like, oh, mom, point of view, meal prepping. I was like, what are you even talking about? But our point of view changes. And it comes from now from a faith-filled point of view, right? It comes from a filled up point of view, a joyful point of view, happy. I'm Hebrews 4:12. One of my favorite scriptures about the word. In the Amplified Classic is my favorite translation. And it says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of breath and life and the immortal spirit and joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Listen, reading that just makes me excited. It says it is alive and powerful. Okay, if this is alive and powerful, why are we not in it every single minute of the day? I understand now why David was always meditating. He knew the power in the word. And yet the devil loves to just keep us distracted, right? You know, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes as a mom of four kids working full time, it's work to prioritize my personal time with God. Like it's work, like it's 5 a.m. work, okay? I always said I would never be a 5 a.m.er. Here I am being a 5 a.m.er, okay? Because I also know that I can't be an effective mom, an effective wife, an effective children's pastor unless I'm filled up with the word. Because I've done it on the flip side where I'm not filled up and it's really ugly, okay? It's really not my best look, okay? I think we can all agree on that. Like we've all been there, right? And when you are spending time in the word, things change. You change. It is inevitable, okay? I mean, I love the word energizing, okay? I'm kind of like the Energizer Bunny, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I can go, go, go all day long, like I just can. But I love it because I'm like, no, it's not me, it's the word. It's the word energizing me. It's the word giving me life. I don't want the world's point of view of energy. I don't want the world's point of view of a happy life. I want what God's word says. And that means I have to do my part, right? So I want to close with this story. I grew up in a family. I was very blessed to grow up in a home, in a Christian home. For years, the devil had me convinced that that meant I didn't have a testimony, which obviously is false, but he had me convinced of that. But the one thing that I remember so vividly about my family was I grew up in a family that loved the word. I can remember going into my mom's bedroom. So I was homeschooled and through ninth grade, and my mom did daycare in our home. And I can remember going to their bedroom if it was between the 6 and 6:30 hour, and she would be in her chair in her corner of her bedroom praying and reading, and we knew we were not allowed to bother mom. We knew that was off limits. Like, this is her time. She's praying. She's studying before our first daycare child would arrive, typically between 6:30 and 7. But I still, I couldn't have been more than probably 10 or 12, and I still have such a clear picture of that. And as high school came, I can remember coming out of my bedroom, getting ready for school, packing lunches, whatever it would be, and I would see my dad at his desk reading his Bible in the mornings. His Bible was always on his desk. And then when my dad got remarried, my mom now also always was in her Bible. And then when they got married, I was 16. And I'm not going to lie to you, the amount of scripture that she quoted to us sometimes annoyed me. You know, it really did. I was like, listen, does everything have to come down to the word? And yes, it does. But, you know, it does. But, you know, as a teenager, typical teenager, right? And she's still in the word. My parents are still in the word. And I love that. I love that those are my memories. But the other day, I found my high school Bible. Yes, full of stickers. Can you tell I grew up in the 90s and early 2000s? And I shouldn't say I found it. I was digging for some books, and this happened to be there. And I was just thumbing through it, and I was just flooded with emotion because I wasn't a normal high school kid. I dug into my Bible in high school. I was always reading the Word. I love seeing all the notes in here of things that the Holy Spirit told me, old love notes from my husband, then boyfriend. And then it wasn't till I was looking at it, I'm trying not to get emotional. And I got to the part where it says your name, all that stuff. And it says, this Bible belongs to Angela Poverud, given by Dad. The date was July 16th, 2000, which means nothing to you guys. But 6 days prior to that, my mom died. And I'm sure that the last thing truly on my dad's mind, 6 days after his wife passed away, was buying his daughter a new Bible. But yet he knew the importance of me having a Bible that I would dig into. He knew that this would change my life. And as I read that, I'll be honest, I don't think I'd ever really thought about that. I don't think I even remember when he bought it for me. And I used this till I got to Rhema. And when I read it, I just heard the Holy Spirit so loudly and so clearly say, this is why you're okay. This is why you made it through some of the hardest times in your life. Between my mom passing away, I had several friends that passed away in high school. This, the word, is what kept me grounded. It was the anchor for my soul. And you know, I'm so grateful that I had parents that were so in love with the word that even 6 days after my mom died, he knew, no, if she needs a new Bible, we're buying her a new Bible. Because she needs to be in the Word. So parents, that's my little plug for you. Be an example to your children. Be an example of loving the Word and showing them that this is their lifeline. So I just want to remind you, if you're in that season where maybe you're feeling a little bit like roommates with God, you don't have to stay there, right? You can get out of it. It's very easy. Meditate on His Word. What are you speaking? What's coming out of your mouth? That'll show you real quick if you need to dig into the word some more. And then do your part. Dig into the word. Spend time. Prioritize your personal time with God. Not just a check, I did my Bible reading for the day, but true time to just let Him speak to you through His word. Let Him speak to you through the Spirit. Whatever He needs to reveal to you, because He will meet you right where you are. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this evening, Lord. We thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for giving us Your word, and that is full of revelation and knowledge that is just unending, Father. There is always more to learn, more to see, Lord, and we just thank you for your precious, precious word. We thank you, Lord, that as we allow it to permeate the depths of our soul, that our lives will change and that the power of the word will become alive in our spirits and in our souls, and we'll just be able to bring more and more people to you. Lord, we thank you for meeting us where we are. We thank you, Lord, that if we've been roommates with you, Father, Lord, we say right now that changes. That changes today. We're going to do our part. We're going to come back closer, and we're going to be stronger than we were before. And we just thank you for everything that you did this evening, Lord. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for being here tonight. We're so glad. Our prayer team can come on down. You guys know how we dismiss around here. If you need prayer for anything in your life, whether you need to know Jesus, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, or you just need someone to agree with you, our prayer team is here. Men on this side, women with the women. And we just thank you all for being here. Ushers, find our first-time visitors and make sure and get them to our Connection Center if you have not already. And we love you all, and we will see you on Wednesday night for Hour of Power.